All right, this morning we started on what's going to be probably a month or 2 month voyage of looking at who am I, gender, identity, and sexuality. We live in a very confused world. It's much more confused than when I was a young boy. Everything is twisted sideways. And so we're going to start again tonight reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. And we don't know how long things went well, but we do know things went well for a little while. But after a little while, Satan came along in the Garden of Eden and said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat every tree in the garden?" In other words, isn't God holding out on you? He put a doubt in her mind. And I want to tell you, a little doubt in your mind about God being loving and God being faithful and God wanting the best for you is all the opening that Satan needs. He'll use that against you, and that doubt will grow in your heart to the point where you'll do something that you know God has forbidden. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they really felt God was holding out. God said he's given us everything richly to enjoy, but only in the way that he prescribes. That's our problem. We want to enjoy everything he's given us, but we want to do it on our timetable. We want to do it in our way. We want to run our own show. And the Bible says, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. It's not in us to be able to do that because we're going to miss the mark. God wants what's best for us, and he's laid out in his word exactly how he wants gender identity to work. When God created man and woman, the Bible is full of information. It gives us great clarity on the design, and especially when it comes to the roles and responsibilities of the opposite two sexes. He tells us exactly how it's going to work very, very well. But when we go against what he's taught us, when we begin to say that a woman should take a man's position and a man ought to take a woman's position, and we're going to decide how we're going to do this, we're going to get it all messed up. And that's exactly where we are today as a society. Today, a little boy doesn't know if he's a little boy or a little girl. They have doubts everywhere because their teachers are deliberately teaching them that it's not what God made you, because, of course, in our public schools, God's not there. God is a fictional character like Santa Claus. So our children are being taught, just because biologically you're made as a boy, what about your emotions? What about your feelings? What about what makes you happy just today? Not for a lifetime, but just for today. Do you know that we've had thousands and thousands of operations now on little boys to make them little girls, on little girls to make them little boys? Have you ever heard of one of those that turned out well? And the person was so happy 10 years later that they had changed sexes and they're just doing wonderfully? I haven't heard of one. I've heard of a lot of them say, "Man, if I had it to do again, there is no way that I would have done that. But when you take a little girl and you mutilate her body by trying to make her a little boy, she's never going to be able to bear a baby ever again. And that's the craziness that we're into now. In the Bible, a little boy becomes a man. And a man becomes a husband. And a husband has children. In the Bible, a little girl becomes a woman. And that woman becomes a wife. And she has children with her husband. That's the pattern that the Bible lays out. The Bible uses a lot of terminology that our modern day teachers are saying, well, you can't do that. For instance, the Bible uses terminology like a son, a daughter, a boy, a girl, a brother, a sister, young man, young woman. Today, everybody's confused and we use pronouns that the Bible has never used. There are girls now that are called SIS. Whatever that means, I have no idea. But that's what they call themselves. And every teacher in every public school has to remember their pronouns. I don't know how you could do it, as many pronouns as there are now. And they say, I think there's about 70 right now that they're using in our colleges that they have typed up lists. But they're saying within just a few more years, we're going to have 500 different pronouns to express your gender and your identity. Folks, that's absolutely crazy. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Our problem in our society today is we have gotten away from the word of God as the foundation of truth. What's truth in our society today? Science. And the Bible warns us against science falsely so called. It's not science at all. These different studies that are coming out on all these new diseases we're getting, who's financing those studies? You understand, it's the pharmacy industry. And they're telling you what they say they're finding, but then they go backwards and check again and say, well, no, that wasn't right. They're doing it for money, folks. We've got to understand the Bible is the foundation for truth. If we forget that, we're going to follow man's wisdom. And the Bible says man's wisdom is folly in the sight of God. Man's science is folly in the sight of God because it's not true science anymore. It's being sold to the highest bidder. It's craziness what's going on. The Bible speaks very clearly about the position of a woman who becomes a wife and a man who becomes a father. And our nation is not following that anymore. Do you know that over 70% of the young men and women that are in jail today never had a father in the home? Is a father in the home important? I got to tell you, it's extremely important. But so many today say, we don't need a man. We don't need a husband. It's absolutely contrary to the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, we're going to be talking about wives first. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And so for a young woman, when she wants to get married, if she doesn't want to submit to her husband, what should she do? Don't get married. Wait for a man that you're willing to submit to. To the husbands, he says this in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So if a young man wants to get married, but he says, I'm not going to give myself up for this woman. I'm not going to live for her. I'm going to do my own thing. She's handy for sex. She's a cute little girl, but I'm going to live my life my way. What should he do? Folks, don't get married. You're not ready. For a young woman that wants to get married and honor God, she has to say, I am going to submit to this man just like I do to the Lord. And she has to mean it in her heart. That's God's pattern. For a young man to want to get married, who's not willing to say, I'm going to give up my own life, I'm going to live for this gal, I'm going to love this gal no matter what, he's not ready to get married. And we have people rushing into marriage that are not ready for marriage. Sex and marriage, sex altogether, is supposed to be far more than just sexual intimacy, physical intimacy. It's to involve the heart and the mind and the soul of the person. And the only way that can happen according to God's plan is through marriage, Christian marriage. Then you've got a lifetime commitment. It's God's design. And I know in our society today, they have all kinds of different arrangements for people to live together before marriage. In fact, today in our country, if you really want to play the game of getting the most money from the government, just shack up. Because they get more tax benefits and more all kinds of benefits. What does that tell you about our government? They're encouraging that. They're not discouraging it. There was a time in our nation when married people got benefits that unmarried people didn't get. Why? Because the government was trying to push towards marriage. Because marriage is the foundation of any society. You take away marriage, you've just ruined the society. And that's where we're heading today as a country. God is the inventor of intimacy in marriage. And God created human beings in his image as male and female. He also brings us together for a purpose. In fact, a couple purposes. One of them is procreation. And that's an important one. We mentioned this morning, two lesbians or two gay guys, how many children are they going to have? They're never going to have any themselves. You can't do it. It won't be done. God had a plan. God's plan is marriage for life. Today in our society, you can get a divorce for any reason whatsoever. That was not true when I was a boy. When I was a boy, if adultery wasn't involved, you had a hard time getting a divorce. Today, that's all changed. Any reason, we're just not compatible. We just don't get along. Well, get a divorce. In fact, I had a man I was counseling in the shop, and he said that he went to counseling, asked him, are you getting along? And he said, no. He said, well, then get a divorce. I don't know how that could be. I've never heard such a thing. But that's what they told him. I don't know. That's what he told me, so I don't know. Anyhow, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one that he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. Now, I know many of us probably didn't grow up in homes that taught us these basic truths of God's word, but we have to teach it to the next generation. Divorce is way too easy today. People aren't willing to pay a price for a relationship that's meant to last a lifetime. Sex was God designed. It was for his glory and for our pleasure. Some people grow up in homes where the parents teach them that sex is always dirty. It's rotten. It's wrong. You know, the Bible teaches exactly the opposite. Sex done in God's way for God's glory, the Bible says, is wonderful. It's one of his primary great creations. Sex was created for procreation, but also for pleasure. God made the human body, the male and the female, to be an exact fit for each other's needs. It's an amazing thing that God has done. Before the fall, sex was declared by God, along with all the rest of the creation, to be very good. But as soon as Eve listened to Satan and her husband followed right along with it, as soon as that happened, what was the first thing they did? They went out and got coverings for their private parts, and they hid from God. Now, eating that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan said, you'll be like God. You'll know right from wrong. Well, they sure did know right from wrong, didn't they? But it didn't make them like God one bit. They had to hide from God. When sex happens according to God's plan, God is right in the midst of it, and God blesses it, and he says it's very good. God is the author of sex in marriage, and Satan is the author of confusion in marriage and sexual relationships. When sex happens within the context of marriage, it happens according to God's plan. It's not something shameful. It's something that God says is especially blessed by him. When we study God's plan, again, we quickly discover that sex in marriage is not just physical. What happens when a person or two people, men and women, come together for sex outside of marriage? It's almost always just physical. And it never works out. What does work out is when a man totally gives himself to a woman and a woman totally gives herself to her husband in Christian marriage and determines this is going to be for a lifetime. We're going to hopefully have children from this, but we're going to enjoy each other immensely. God's glorified in that. The soul of both the man and the woman are fully blessed in that. And God says it's good. Whenever people enter into a relationship for the primary purpose just of sex, it almost never lasts a lifetime. And it creates so many problems for so many people. When we follow God's plan for sex and intimacy, our lives bring glory to our God. Sex was designed by God to be exclusively in a Christian marriage. So in Hebrews 13, verse 4, it said, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Whenever you step outside of God's design for sex, you're heading for destruction. And how many people in our society today are failing to follow God's directions? It's like you went out and bought a brand new Cadillac, and the owner's manual is right there. You can take care of your car, you can change your oil, you can do things according to schedule, or you can just ignore the manual. What happens to those who just ignore the manual? A good Cadillac today ought to go 300,000, 400,000 miles. But if you don't change the oil, if you don't ever check the antifreeze, how long is that car going to last? You might get 100,000, but it's doubtful. Folks, there are things that God has put in order that we need to get back to the manual, God's word, to see how can I do this in the context of what God wants. I'll do a little illustration. Duct tape is a wonderful thing if it's used properly. It holds a lot of stuff together. But if you took two strips of duct tape and you stick them together, that's a picture of marriage. What happens if you decide you want to part that again? What happens to those strips of duct tape? They rip and they tear. There is no way you can get them apart without destruction. And that's what God says about Christian marriage. When you get married, there's no way you're not going to hurt each other when you divorce. God meant for a man and a woman to be joined for life. But now one or the other gets disgruntled with the marriage. Maybe both. And instead of working with the Lord and praying and asking God to help them and heal their marriage, they decide, I'm out of this. I've had enough of this. It happens not just to the man and the woman. It happens to the children that are involved. Folks, that's what's going on in our society today. We wonder what's going on. Why are we having so much trouble? It's because we're doing our own thing. Instead of following God's clear directions, we're saying, no, we're not going to obey the Lord. We're going to do it our way. And it doesn't work. God created our bodies and designed our reproductive organs with great intentionality. It wasn't a mistake. And I know that school teachers are telling the kids, you just evolved. It just all happened. My friend, it didn't just all happen. God designed sex for a reason. The Bible gives us a very good, clear explanation of men and women and marriage and intimacy. It was God's plan from the very beginning. God says it's very good, but man says it's not enough. Satan tells him, man, you could have all that sex you want outside of your marriage. Your wife isn't in a good mood tonight? Go get a girlfriend. Do it this way. Do it that way. Get a little kinky. How about a little bit of pornography? Folks, that's why we're in such a mess. Our whole society is turned sideways. So what did God say just a little bit about marriage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 again? Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. That verse says marriage is to be honored by everybody. That means you ought to honor your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's husband. You ought to leave them alone. They don't belong to you whatsoever. I don't care how cute she is or how handsome he is. It's hands off. It's done. They're married. God says he'll judge those in sexual sin. Sexual sin is a unique sin in God's book, and he says he will never allow sexual sin to go unpunished. A lot of other sins, you can kind of fudge them and get away a little bit, but you cannot in a sexual sin. It doesn't matter who you are. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, there's a real warning here for continuing on. All of us, I'm going to say all of us, I believe it's probably true, I think almost 100%, all of us have sinned sexually sometime during our lives, whether it's thought, word, or deed, it doesn't matter which, or even words. So in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so what he's saying is, if you're living in that, you're not going to inherit eternal life. We have to have a repentance. It's a real repentance. We have to turn away from those things. God is going to judge sexual sin. And it's extremely important you understand this. God's word speaks directly. Now, we think sexual sin, yeah, God's going to get after those homosexuals and God's going to get after those people who have sex with children. Let me give you a little short list of the different things the Bible says God's going to judge, and I'll bet you'll see yourself on this list. God's word speaks directly to lust, to fornication, to adultery, to pornography, to rape, incest, homosexuality, bestiality, and pagan sexual activity in the name of any god. Folks, all those things are spoken of. And probably everybody in this room, I know I'm sure on that list in a couple different spots. We need a Savior. We need somebody that can change our heart, to give us God's wisdom so that we look at sex the same way God looks at sex. Does it mean you're never going to trip again? No. But it means you're not going to stay in that lifestyle. You're going to rebuke Satan. You're going to come out of it. God will work with you. We live in a day where there are so many misconceptions about sexual activity, and people really think they can live any way they want to, and the Jesus that they love will never judge them. In fact, Jesus loves all the different religions. They're all the same to him, and he's never going to judge anybody for anything. Now, that's their view, and they're sincere in their view, but that is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus who created mankind. It's not the Jesus who made the rules. You know when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments? Do you know who was giving him the Ten Commandments? That was the angel of the Lord. That was Jesus Christ our Lord. When the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea, it says in the Bible they followed that rock, which was Christ. He was there. He's our God. He's not just a man that came on the scene 2,000 years ago. He's Creator God. Why should God be able to tell you and I how we should enjoy sex? Well, maybe because he's the creator of sex. Maybe because he's the author of your very life. Maybe because he's the one that's going to judge you one day. Do you understand? You're going to stand before a holy God and you're going to give an account of your life. And one of the areas you're going to give an account for is how you have handled your sexual relations. Was it for God's glory? Was it according to his word? Or were you like me in younger years, caught up in pornography or whatever you were caught up into, and you're still a little caught up in it? Folks, I want to tell you, we need to learn how to depart from those things. The Bible says if you continue to feed into your fleshly nature, it's never going to get conquered. You have to starve it. That's the only way. I've talked to a lot of young men about sexual pornography because I was caught in it. The only way to get out of that is to get it out of your house. If you've got tapes, burn them up. Don't give them to somebody else. All that's going to do is get them in trouble. Burn it up. Tear up those books, get them out of your house, and don't allow them in anymore. You've got to make a stand. And whatever your sexual activity is out of God's plan, you've got to do the same thing. You've got to stop. Because if you don't stop, it's going to go on the whole rest of your life. This is so important. In Galatians 6:7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." Our Lord has been very consistent from the very creation of this world, telling us how to handle sex and sexual identity and gender choices. He's laid it all out. There shouldn't be any doubt. But there is. And the reason there is because we doubt God's goodness. Satan puts it into question, question, question. I can't just take God at his word. I have to know if there's something missing. He's holding out. No, he's not. The very best you can ever have in your life is choosing to live according to God's direction for your life. He is the manufacturer. He knows exactly how we process and how we do best in life. He's told us in 2 Corinthians 7:10. He says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Folks, suicide in the homosexual community is over double what it is in the non-homosexual community. We think we can make the choice. We can do whatever we want. We're in charge. God says, no, you're not. God says, when you sow to your flesh, from your flesh, you're going to reap destruction. If you'll sow to the Spirit and handle your sexuality God's way, it'll lead to blessing after blessing. He's not against sexual activity. He's all for it. There was a time back when I was a boy, most families had 8, 10, 12 kids. What is it today? 2, 3, maybe 4 at the most? Folks, God loves procreation. He loves having little children. I'm so excited on Sunday mornings now we see 10, 11 kids going downstairs. That's a good thing. But it's done in Christian marriage, God's way, for God's glory. And then it's all going to work out exactly as he has planned. So 2 weeks from this Sunday, we'll hit it again, and we're just going to keep going deeper. If today's message didn't offend you, hang on. One of the other three or four will affect you, and you're going to say, wait just a minute. You've gone too far, preacher. It's not me. I'm just a messenger. I'm simply bringing you what God says. This is not our church's idea. This is not our denomination's idea. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God will bless you if you'll put it into effect in your life. So, with that in mind, we're going to sing.